96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You are now on Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Yee. This is Erin Green sitting in today. And today we are talking what's in the news. I'd call it an open line Friday. Tell me what you want to talk about. I'll tell you what there is to talk about. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Remember, you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. We're doing an open line today as we get the show started. I just want to say congratulations to the Eastwood Judo Club. They were in action at the 33rd Annual U.S. Open Judo Championships and Golden Score Competition that was held in Fort Lauderdale from July 29th to 31st. The team members returned with three gold medals and a bronze medal. Congratulations. Another quick sports story, large number of children took part in tennis summer camps. A number of successful tennis programs were held this summer, staged at the Bahamas Lawn Tennis Association National Tennis Center and around the country, that allowed children to learn tennis in a fun-filled environment. The participants included first-timers and active players. There are tons of stories in the news from the entire week. We look at today's Guardian at the bottom of the fold. Watson apologizes after backlash over Dorian concert announcement. Office of the PM Press Secretary Clint Watson yesterday apologized following backlash over an announcement he made recently of a concert to commemorate the third anniversary of Hurricane Dorian on September 1st. I think it's important in this role to always make sure that the people understand when we communicate messages and our intent behind it. Watson said, quote, last week we communicated a portion of the message for Dorian Week, and I think for so many residents in Abaco and Grand Bahama, it created a great offense. And so I wanted to clarify and first just simply apologize to the people of Abaco and Grand Bahama who were offended by the manner in which the announcement was delivered and the fact that there was no conclusion on the entire week. It's an interesting story. And I wonder if people are upset about what you said or how you said it. I think it's about what you said. I don't think there's any right way to say that you're going to have a concert in New Providence at a major hotel to commemorate Hurricane Dorian and what took place. I don't think you guys are thinking about it. I don't think you're thinking about what the survivors of Hurricane Dorian are dealing with, what their realities are every day. I don't think you think about the realities of those people who have been displaced, whether temporarily or permanently, or are in limbo because they cannot return, even though they may have the means or the willingness, without certain infrastructural issues being resolved or infrastructure being put in place. And like if you were going to say that you were having a concert to commemorate the completion of multiple hurricane shelters and tornado shelters in Grand Bahama and Abaco, I think people would feel differently about it. You know? But I think you guys are you're entirely missing the point on this one. You know? And for those who question, well, why is the event taking place in New Providence when Abaco and Grand Bahama, the islands, were devastated by Dorian? I'm not going to read the last part because you just say it killed dozens of people and left scores missing. Dozen is 12. That's like groups of 12. And scores are only groups of 20. It's a big mistake you made right there in the article. But people have been displaced to New Providence, right? So there are lots of former Grand Bahama and Abaco residents who are now permanently displaced, right? They have resettled or have been, to phrase it better, they have been forced to resettle in the capital or on other islands. All right, so I have a text here. Aaron, how can we petition the government to remove the roundabouts on Tonik-Darling Highway by Eagle Electric and replace them with traffic lights or make them a dual carriageway with service roads? Please, Aaron, we have outgrown some of these dangerous roundabouts. I don't think we've outgrown the roundabouts, but I think the word dangerous is important here. You see what I'm saying? First of all, people refuse to use the roundabout properly. I was going to say that they refuse to learn how to do it, but yesterday when I was coming to the station, I was driving past the stadium where road traffic is, road traffic division, and I was heading towards University Drive from the dual carriageway highway complex. And as I was approaching the stadium, I watched this vehicle. It is a driving school vehicle because the car is very nicely wrapped in the logo for the driving school. And the car approached the stop sign and never actually stopped. You hear me? A driving school, a car operated by a driving school that appeared to have a student in it, approached the stop sign to leave the stadium and never stopped. You're supposed to approach the stop sign, stop, wait for a minimum of 3 seconds, and then after determining that the way is clear, then you can exit the intersection, you can exit and enter the main road. This vehicle pretended like it was stopping. They used their brakes, but never actually came to a stop. And I know that they have good sense because they were able to assess how slow they needed to go to not stop their car at the stop sign and make it safely into the oncoming and moving traffic. So before I say that people are unwilling to learn how to use a roundabout, let me point out that it could be that driving instructors are actually not teaching people how to drive properly. Like I tell you, I was just so happy I had a full show yesterday. I was stunned by it. You are leaving the stadium with a student in the vehicle. And whether you are driving or the student is driving, I don't know which one is worse. Right? I'm watching driving instructors indicate to their students that no, they don't have to stop at the red light before they assess whether the way is clear to turn left on red. In fact, they don't even have to assess whether the way is clear to turn left on red. And so a couple of years ago, when I was hosting a show or two, sorry about that call-up. You could call back, please. It was brought to my attention that the road traffic department or the agency ministry responsible had actually enacted a moratorium on driving schools, so they weren't allowing the licensing of any new schools. Right? And I imagine it's because they want to create a system for better or more effective regulation of the driving schools themselves. So I don't think that it is that the roundabout is dangerous. The roundabout intends to slow down traffic, cause traffic to sort of slow down. I just think that we refuse to use the roundabouts properly. Did you know that you're supposed to use your turn signal on the roundabout to give an indication of which exit you will be leaving the roundabout with? And the people on the roundabout have the right of way. But if somebody breaches, you know, your right of way, you're in the inner lane, you still have to continue around the roundabout until it's clear to exit the roundabout. We just got a lot of work to do. I got another text here. Good morning. I don't understand why people would want to continually celebrate tragedies, especially one like Dorian. It boggles my mind. Well, see, this isn't supposed to be a celebration. And that's, you know, I can imagine that that's the space in which a lot of family islanders, a lot of residents from Abaco, Grand Bahama, and survivors of hurricanes throughout the archipelago feel, right? That's the space that they are making their inquiry. Like, why it seemed like a celebration, and why is it not then being placed where we are? But it's not supposed to be a celebration. It's supposed to be a commemoration. And if done properly, if organized properly with the proper protocols in place, right, with the proper training, I say training, but, you know, for the people responsible for the event, they set the tone. They remind people how to behave. They moderate behavior. You can do that by how you set up the space. Right? How you structure it, literally. And so, no, it's not supposed to be a celebration. It's supposed to be a commemoration, and the organizers are supposed to lead us into that. You text. But, yeah, you know, I love to go back to that traffic thing. We've got a major, major, major problem on our hands, Bahamians. And I know you guys just say, oh, Aaron. I guess it won't matter to you until you are in an accident. It won't matter to you till you're in an accident and the person responsible for the accident refuses to pay. You know, it won't matter to you until somebody threatens to do you harm because you want to assess your vehicle after an accident. Maybe it won't matter until then. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
As I say before, there is no such thing as a rolling stop.
That's right.
And I learned this when I was 19 years old, ran a car in Miami, and the police stopped me. I said, why you stop me? He says, you must stop. I said, how do you know? He stopped. He said, the car didn't dip forward. He was right under the tree watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned to stop because ain't nobody supposed to be in the crosswalk. And before he stopped, I looked for anybody in the crosswalk before I make that right turn. So I had to go to court, plead no contest, and the judge gave me a court fine. I mean, he gave me no points.
Yeah, right.
See, we don't have a system here. If you get points, your insurance go up.
Exactly.
If you get more than, I think, 12 points, your license gets taken away.
Yep,
for about a year.
In Britain, it's
no,
a year or two.
We don't punish you for bad driving. Just buck up. That's my mother car, auntie car, but nobody car gets fixed. See, in the States, I just sue your mother for letting you drive the car. Mm-hmm. Then you have to tell the judge, see, that's not stolen the car. Then, if you ain't want to pay, you'll tell the court he stole your car, but then he go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to make the parents responsible for letting their children or auntie, uncle drive their car and buck up to your brand new car, and you have to fix your own car.
Listen, quickly.
Or you get hurt.
Right, quickly. In Britain, understanding the culture and the nature of people, you know, the people's behavior, they created a new category. They realized that people were hesitant or reticent to charge their family members, like their son or their daughter, with taking the car, right? Like stealing the car. So they created a category called TWOC, taking without consent. Right? And so it's not the same as theft. It's not the same as I just on a road and I thief somebody's car. Right? And it's a lesser charge.
Yeah.
And it helps to moderate behavior. But that's an example of the state responding to a need to shift culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have to have accountability for people driving cars on the road that if you lend me your car, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people... Our system got to be redo. Like your job history don't follow you.
Yeah.
Because we don't have access. I mean, like Tallahassee, no. With your license, when your insurance is canceled. Like this system is so fast, you don't get away with slackness.
Absolutely.
You don't get away with doing foolishness.
Oh man.
They follow you till you're dead.
Yeah.
That you're the bad driver.
Yeah.
And your insurance go from $300 to $1,000. Easy.
Listen.
Because you.
I gotta go. I just lost a caller. I gotta go. But thank you very much. Thank you very much. And we need incentives like that. We need a point system, right? Severity of the points increase with the severity of the offense. I got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
This is talking away so long with you, pretty eyes, Aaron Green.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm right here hanging.
Thank God
for what it is and spite off.
Yes, sir.
We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
But my main reason for calling you, right, my other main reason for calling you is that I have a problem with some people around here.
I got you, Sparky. Maybe we deal with that on another time. What to do, Sparky? Call me, message me, WhatsApp me at 428-0719. That's 428-0719. All right, here are some of the other things on my list today. Full overhaul of Public Procurement Act underway. The government will fully rewrite the Public Procurement Act because of, quote, troublesome, close quote, aspects of the current legislation, A.G. Ryan said, Pinder said, yesterday. You know what we've been, you know that we've been amending and working on amendments to the Procurement Act and the Fiscal Responsibility Act and the Public Finance Management Act, Pinder said. Those are all in train and those are all anticipated to be available for public consultation by the end of this month and be in a position to be tabled in September. I just find this interesting. Because it's like the government is rewriting the rules on how they are supposed to be governed. It's like you're responsible for policing yourself, and then you're going to look at the legislation and tell, oh, this is too stringent. Like, this is too tight. We can't actually do our jobs with this. I just, and then I pause for a second because I think, well, then in the alternate, somebody's going to say, oh, well, you know, we had to break the rules because the rules just didn't make sense. But you're responsible for the rules, so why would you have to break them versus changing them? So I'm in a catch-22 with this story, but I got a caller on the line. Maybe they'll help me clear the air. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Oh, this Bremen, what I'm telling you is call me at 428-0719. 428-0719, and you and I could finish that conversation separately. That's what we could do. All right. Like I was saying, it's just an interesting story, and I'm hoping that we can get some public political analysts, right? Not government analysts, but political analysts for public conversation about this. Because here's a quote from the AG. The requirement to go to procurement, especially instances of exigency, that's like urgency, right? When the government has to react in real time to situations, really hurts the ability of a government to do that, to react to concerns of its citizens. Let's use healthcare, for example. Pause. Dear AG, don't ever use healthcare as an example. Okay, good. We know, and continuing to quote, we know we're in a pandemic, and we know the pandemic has really overloaded our... I'm sure he's going to say health system. He says infrastructure. We see it today when you're seeing difficulties with elective surgeries. That is as a result of the pressure that is being put on our health infrastructure. Pinder said the government would want to react in real time to address such issues. He gave the example of purchasing 10 new hospital beds, radiology equipment, or carry out immediate infrastructural modifications. We're unable to react in real time to address those health needs of our citizens because in every instance you have to go up through a portal. Pinder said, while noting there are, quote, a lot of times when the portal does not function appropriately. Okay, dear AG, remember when I told you don't talk about healthcare? Let's have a talk. It's your portal. You responsible for managing the portal and making sure it operates effectively. It's your portal. Exigency in hospital. We've been waiting over 20, 30 years for y'all to get new hospital beds. What portal has delayed you 30 years? First of all, this is a horrible example, sir. Second of all of the systems that are causing you delays are systems that you are responsible for managing and operating. Producer, whenever you're ready to take that call. I don't want to talk. Good morning, you're on Guardian Radio AM. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I was coming inside my front room, and I was out there picking some avocados for promise for a friend, and I heard you calling my name, said, call you on 4280019.
I thought I said Brayman. That's my bad. I thought I said Brayman.
Yeah, I was calling you on the number, but like all of y'all cellular people, you don't answer your phones.
You mad at the service provider?
I'm mad at nobody. You're always getting mad at Sparky. Everybody tired of hearing Sparky voice and all kind of things.
No, man, Sparky.
I sent you the video yesterday. You ain't telling the people yet, but my ma, all that kind of thing.
Because this is not the appropriate show for it.
Yeah, but you said open line.
Sparky.
Open line is open line.
But Sparky. Sparky.
You trying to out-slick me just like that?
No, I'm not trying to out-slick you. You get to talk about that. But here's the best part. I tell you call me at 4280719, not at 323-6232 or
355 or 316.
Because I'm on the show, but I got to go, Sparky.
Okay.
I got to go. Thank you. You know I tell you called me on a different number. But I thank you for that break because I was going to talk to the Attorney General for a moment more, and maybe I need to pause. Maybe I should take a pause, and we're going to talk about something else. I see I have another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green, once again.
Good morning.
I'm back on these calls.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me.
Yes.
Not that I'm off the radio now, and I can really say what's on my mind.
No, because we're on the radio.
I'm tired of them.
We definitely on the radio.
I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
Huh?
We definitely on the radio.
Good. I'm tired of them. Not that I'm not in the studio, I can say it loud.
Oh, okay, the Dolphins. Yeah.
Every single year is their year. Them and them cows are. Hey, hey, listen to me. Let me tell you something. It gives me great pleasure every year to post on Facebook. The Dolphins have been officially eliminated from playoff contention. It gives me great pleasure every year to say, even if the Cowboys make it, because, you know, they were unbeaten in their division last year. Beat them boys and we this and we that. But you know what it is? I'm a 49er fan. You know what it is? We beat them in Dallas at home.
That was an exciting day. But listen, I think...
It gives me no greater pleasure than to say this.
If you keep calling my show and dissing the Dolphins, I have to petition for the Miami to be the sister city to the Nassau, you know.
Fish meat tastes good anyway. You do it, you can steam it. You know, you can fry it.
Anyway, listen, I got another caller on the line. I got to go. Thank you so much. Dear Dolphins fans, I support you this round. Good morning. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. I want to talk a little Junkanoo, man.
Okay, let's talk a little Junkanoo.
Yeah, you know, the Junkanoo, right? I feel like the good thing about Junkanoo, right, is that Junkanoo brought a lot of brass musicians to this country, you know? It's producing a lot of brass musicians,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, people don't like to hear the truth. You see? See, our Bohemian music, right?
Yeah.
Is a fusion of music. Our best Bohemian band was the Tiki Nessins because how they fuse music. You see? And seeing the foundation of that was like the jazz and the blues. You understand?
Yeah.
And these African music, you know.
Oh yeah.
Even the calypso, you know, the Cuban music, they fusions.
Yeah.
You see, so when we talk about and how Junkanoo has blessed us with so many brass musicians, we need to nurture them with the foundation of music, the jazz. You understand
yes.
me?
Oh,
and
yeah.
the like.
Absolutely. While you're talking, I just remembered that Mr. Gilbert Morris, who's now working with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs locally, just released a short documentary that he would have shared with the family of George Floyd about the Bahamas Brass Band and the history of the Bahamas
right.
Brass
I was
Band.
A member of the Junior Brass Band, and they Taiwan blues.
Okay.
You understand me?
Yeah.
That New Orleans blues, you know?
Yes.
Thing. That's the foundation of music, the blues and the jazz and the African. And we keep running away from it.
Yes.
You see, we keep running away from it. Oh, let's look at Rake and Spade. You realize how fast even the beat of Rake and Spade is, you know how difficult that is? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see, so we need to get away from, we need to get back to get to the foundation of music. We need to take that Junkanoo and use it. Use what it brought to us. We need to invest on the musicians. We need a Berklee School, a conservatory in this Bahamas for music. We can't be worried about the musicians who just want to get paid and don't want to. You understand me? Playing other genres. You understand me? I'm not dealing with the foundation of music. Thank you.
We have to have a foundation. We have to own it, right? We have to own these things for ourselves, and that's the only way that we can protect them. But that's a wonderful idea, a national music conservatory where we study all forms of music and not just the what we call the classical or the high forms of music. There were a couple of stories referencing the AG that I had wanted to talk about, you know. And what's very interesting is the conversation about the Citizenship and Nationality Bill that's about to be tabled, and the conversation of why this route, why not go via another constitutional, you know, a referendum, constitutional exercise. And I just want to say that, first of all, it's very difficult to try and have a referendum in a year and a half, in 2 years, in 3 years. In fact, it's very difficult to have a referendum in 5 years. And it's not that a solid, it's not that we couldn't, it's impossible. It's not that it's impossible to have a referendum, a proper referendum where people understand the issues at the social level, right? At the personal level, at the legal level, at the political level, right? It's just that the government refuses to expend the resources necessary to do it. Real countries that have real referendums take a minimum of 5 years to prepare their citizens for the referendum. And real countries try to take the politics out of it in case the issue sort of transfers over administrations. trying to have a referendum on have a referendum to entrench the principle of non-discrimination on the basis of sex in the Constitution to create, among other things, constitutional equality between men and women is an extremely complicated exercise. And so it turns out that it's easier for the government to do it this way, both like legally and procedurally, but also both politically. See, both politically it's easier, because if it's not entrenched in the Constitution, then the government could change the law at any time. You know, it's very important to be able to interpret this political jargon, this political rhetoric, and separate it from government governance jargon and policy, right? It is simply easier for the government to do it this way. Producer, I think it's time to go to a break. When we get back from the break, audience, there's a couple other things I want to talk about. There's an article in the paper, Murders Climbed to 21% so far in 2022, but also an article in today's paper about the Bail Act. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio AM on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm sitting in for Cecil Newry today. And so I'm looking at today's business section. In fact, let me repeat those numbers. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259 are the call-in numbers. And 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, is the text line that's powered by BTC. I am entertaining virtually all subject matters this morning. Early in the week, I do have a note to make. Early in the week, we got loose like a goose, and perhaps we engaged in some commentary that was a bit reckless, commentary about the Geraldo Taylor Jr. Death. And so I just want to remind us that, you know, sometimes in our exuberance, in our excitement, and with a good heart to share, we could possibly jeopardize justice. And we will always want to be careful that we don't engage in commentary about a matter before the courts that could jeopardize that matter. I have a text here that says, Aaron, where in the Bahamas are women being discriminated? Women held every office in this country except PM. Let's stop comparing ourselves to other countries. First of all, Texter, I'm going to need you to do some research. First of all, I'm going to need you to do some research on how discrimination operates. Right? There's like structural discrimination, and then there's that sort of in personal discrimination people, right? People use their power. Want you to examine how power operates in this town, and how, why is it that we haven't had a woman PM, given the extent to which women influence politics in this town? I mean, there are lots of things that we could talk about. We could talk about the deplorable state of the maternity ward and health services for women and pregnant women. We could talk about the difficulty accessing birth control safe and multiple birth control options, but condoms are free everywhere. And sexual stimulant aids for men are perhaps one of the most easily accessible products in the country. You want to talk about it? We could talk about the extent to which we do not focus on rape culture, trafficking of young girls for sexual exploitation within their own country. We just don't focus on it at all because somehow it seems to be to the benefit of men. I mean, there's tons of stuff we could talk about, Texter. And I have a text here that says, listen, Ms. Green, Brent will be prime minister. That's Brent Simonet would be prime minister before a woman would be prime minister in this country. Women have this thing called a menstrual cycle. For the majority of women, for the majority of their lives, they will have to deal with the cycle. And so they need feminine hygiene protection. This feminine hygiene protection that they need, many women and girls, you know, female classification of the human, need these products before they are legally allowed to work to generate the money to buy it for themselves. There's no price control mechanisms for this product. There are no regulations for this product. There's both VAT and duty on this product, despite the fact that the vast majority of women will need it for the vast majority of their life. But condoms can be found for free pretty much anywhere in the country. Let's talk about access to bathroom facilities, public bathroom facilities. Let's talk about the fact that it is against the law to urinate in public, but we condemn and row women who raise the issue about being forced to be in public spaces with men, exposing their genitals to use the bathroom in the public. Because what you expect men to do? What do you expect women to do with no bathrooms? You said, what do you expect men to do? It ain't no bathrooms. What you expect women to do? Now we have to hold it and watch you relieve yourself in the public by a tree next to a car? Another text says, Ms. Green, how come business establishments in this country have areas for women to breastfeed? Do they? Are they clearly delineated? Are they safe? Are they comfortable? Are they sanitary? But here's the question. Why can't women breastfeed where they are? Feeding a child is a natural, non-sexual function. It's almost as if men think that breasts are a sexual part of the body that belong to men and are for their sexual pleasure only. What would be the problem with a woman breastfeeding her child at the table when all the other members of the family are eating if it is a non-sexual act? A text says, good day, good description. He was concealed while urinating. Was he concealed in the public? Was he? Just because you can't see somebody watching you doesn't mean that you're not visible to them. This idea of what is private and public changes depending on what we're doing, where we are. Why is it that women should be forced to even risk? Why should I be forced to even risk being exposed? Got a text there that says, Erin, I think for the next year, the government should have a driver's education class at all senior high schools. That would make better drivers. Erin, the first Negroes in New Orleans were Haitian slaves. They brought to the French quarters. That's why New Orleans is known for its Creole food and mystical voodoo in the bayou. Is that where you were texting there? Listen, I read the story about putting the vaccine stations in schools. And let me just say something. You could put a vaccine station in the school, but you can't put a proper medical facility. Like, you can't put a proper mini clinic in the school. You can't ensure that minor girls have access to free feminine hygiene protection in the school, but you can put a vaccine station in the school. Before you put the vaccine station in the school, put the driver's education class in the school and drop off one of the cars damaged in an accident at every school. Another text. Good morning, Erin. I hope you are well. Can you, as the media, consider having road traffic on to discuss the rules of the road? Most importantly, the relatively new turn on red, left turn on red. I keep seeing drivers pull into oncoming traffic even when it's clearly poor timing. I continue to invite road traffic department, Royal Bahamas Police Force responsible for traffic. I continue. They have an open invitation to come on my show. They know they are the police. They could come on my show. They could show up without notice and get one little 15 minutes to talk about traffic safety, the new rules on the road. Yes, Texter, I agree with you. I'm looking for a sponsor to sponsor a weekly segment so we could continue to talk about safe driving, traffic rules, and to remind the public, you know, to educate the public when changes in traffic policies occur. I with you. I have a text here that says, following up, women don't vote for women, even though they vote more and have more voters. We can't legislate people just to vote for women. You too much like women and bias. First of all, I didn't say anything about voting for women, Texter. Maybe you could say I too much like women. Maybe I do like women too much. But I am not biased. Never once have I negated the fact that women also vote in men over other women. But you can legislate people to just vote for women. It is possible and it has been exercised. It was a temporary special measure implemented in Rwanda. And the way that they did it, they didn't tell people how to vote because you cannot tell people how to vote. That's undemocratic, unconstitutional. What they did was they mandated a quota for political parties to have a specified number of female candidates. That's how they did it. Now, that could somehow backfire because you may have a respectable number of candidates, but then the parties put those women to run against each other, negating one of the two, 50% of your slate. But it is possible. It is possible. I'll tell you something about bias, Texter. Sometimes bias stops you from shifting your perspective and seeing the possibilities that exist. Another text, Ms. Green, if women weren't discriminated, Loretta Butler Turner would be prime minister instead of menace. Right. I think that maybe that's a perfect example, right? Because in this instance, there is no structural discrimination, right? There's nothing that said that Loretta Butler Turner could not challenge for leadership within her party. There's nothing that says in the Constitution that a woman cannot be the leader of a party. There's nothing in the Constitution that says a woman cannot be prime minister, right? So there isn't necessarily like that type of legal or structural discrimination in that case. Now, a matter of what happened behind closed doors, right? Do the men and women in the party that Loretta Butler Turner attempted to lead, do the men and women in that party believe, or did they believe, that power like that should rest within the hands of a woman? That's discrimination sort of, and prejudice at a different level, eh? But it's a very, I think it's a very interesting example to explore, and at some point we need to explore it more fully. Another text here, Miss G, the general post office has signs on both bathroom doors for 1 year now. No one can use it due to out-of-order signs. Incredible. So as a man, where do I urinate if needed? Well, to be honest with you, I would make my first trip to the AG's office and ask them if I could use their bathroom, because counter to the law, this space that serves the public does not have bathrooms accessible to the public. Then I would stop at Ministry of Works and use the bathroom there and point out to them that surely they are responsible for ensuring that this infrastructure in government places is working properly. Then I'd go to the Postmaster General, unless, of course, their office is in the mall. Don't do any of the things I suggested just now, Texter. Don't do any of them. What to do is to continue to do what you're doing and alert the public, and then write letters to the people responsible, indicating to them that this is deplorable, and it is obvious that they do not care about the general public who they are supposed to serve. Imagine you are a bank in the Bahamas. You insist on keeping your customers in the bank for a minimum of an hour, but you refuse to follow the law and ensure that there are bathrooms accessible to the public in your bank where you offer services to the public. And you could run on all you want about the security issues concerned, because you don't have to put the cameras in the bathroom. You put the cameras in the ventilation system to ensure that you capture anyone who would attempt to use the bathroom access to the ventilation system for some nefarious purpose. And for God's sake, how easy is it to hire a waste management company and maintain porta potties outside your bank for the general public, since you insist on keeping us in there for a minimum of an hour? That's only one of the multitude of service issues that I would eventually like to talk about with the local banking industry. But I tell you what, if you can't get the big guys, the corporate guys, to follow the rules, if you cannot get them to use their resources, and I don't mean money, I mean brain power, to resolve these issues amicably for both themselves and the people they serve, then you ain't gonna get your boy on the corner to do it. You ain't gonna get Bobo round the way to do it. You ain't gonna get Mama in her little shop to do it. You guys are supposed to be setting an example. Text there, hi Aaron, there have been a woman U.S. president. Is that discrimination? Quote, never. Right, there's never been a U.S. woman president. Is that discrimination? Like I said, using the example earlier with Loretta Butler Turner, so like there's no policy or law preventing a woman from becoming prime minister, only party dynamics and politics that seem to be the biggest barriers. Text here, Miss Green, I live Coral Harbor. I was driving from downtown home. I had to use the bathroom, and I was passing Fusion. So I am guilty of urinating in public, but only because I live extremely far. You know how far Coral Harbor is? I agree with you. I mean, I know how far it is. I appreciate the urgency of the matter. I get it. and to consider a tourist town where we are now renting vehicles, all type of vehicles to tourists to go explore the island, and you don't have a trailer load of publicly accessible bathrooms around the island, if you don't want to do it for the poor people who live and work on the island and ensure that your government could function so you could get paid, do it for the tourists. Another text says, Ms. Green, in Nassau, people in Nassau need to walk instead of driving, or second option, go back to riding donkey. You know what you missed in between there? You know what you missed? Use the public transportation system, because we keep insisting that we are a real country by the salaries that we demand in the civil service. Why don't we have real systems in place? Another text, Aaron, I worked around banks and only women and children used the bathroom. Isn't women being treated different? No man was allowed. Women got special treatment. Okay, first of all, I worked around banks and only women and children used the bathroom. What does that mean? Does that mean you used to work outside the bank? I'm not sure what that means. And I don't know what you mean, no man was allowed. So there was a publicly accessible bathroom, but men couldn't use it? Dear caller, you got 30 seconds. I just need you to know my producer's going to cut you when we hit that timeline. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on air.
From. Hello.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening. The call is just breaking up. I'm sorry. And I don't have enough time. We got to end it on the 12 o'clock hour. You heard the music. Got one last text. Aaron, when Papa picked his good friend, Minister B. Leader, when he quit, LBT was still in Long Island. The man did not give her time to come back to try to be the leader. That's what made her mad. That's what she said. Like I said, there's nothing preventing her from being leader but the people in the party. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry with me this week. It's been a pleasure. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for the rest of the day. Enjoy your weekend and see you next week.